Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Episode of the Believe in UCLA Football podcast. My name is James Williams. I am an editor and reporter for the Southern California News Group and the Orange County Register. Usually we're joined by co-host Josh Woods, a former linebacker for UCLA, but he's doing things with the Canadian Football League and the BC Lions. He had an early game this week, and we'll be catching up with him again next week. But yeah, it's been a busy week, I'll put it that way, with the MLB All-Star Game out here in town for the last couple days, and also the ESPYs. I was in attendance for both the ESPYs and the MLB All-Star Game, so I was busy with that. Make sure you go and check out some of my work at OCRegister.com. Talk to Lisa Fernandez, the UCLA softball legend. Was able to talk to Kiki Rice, the Gatorade Player of the Year for girls basketball. She's going to be, or she already is in Westwood, is 2 weeks in with Coach Close and the Bruins and working with that program and getting familiar with her new team and teammates. And we'll see what kind of impact she has early on, but getting the Gatorade Player of the Year in Westwood is definitely a big deal. We talked to her about what she's learned and whatnot, and how the first 2 weeks have gone for her. So make sure you go ahead and follow me on Twitter at JHWReporter. I have both of those interviews with Lisa Fernandez and with Kiki Rice on my Twitter feed. Go ahead and check those out. Was able to talk to a bunch of other different people as well. A lot of different people, a lot of things going on out there. But it was a great time in LA. But back and excited to talk about UCLA football, and I'm really excited for Pac-12 Media Day, which is the next event I'll be at. I have been approved and am ready to go for that. I would imagine, I think as I mentioned last week, Chip Kelly is going to be there. Obviously, DTR will be there. Not sure if we'll get Zach Charbonnet, or maybe it'll just be someone who's representing the defense, as usually is the case. I know in previous years, co-host Josh Woods has been one of those guys that has represented the defense at Pac-12 Media Day. And I'm excited to talk to Josh next week and kind of pick his brain on what he remembers from Pac-12 Media Day. What is it like to be a college football player and kind of go through the paces and everything that is a college football Pac-12 Media Day? For some, obviously, if you're one of the teams not in California, especially USC, UCLA, when Pac-12 Media Day is held in LA, it's not as big of a travel commitment. But for a lot of the other teams, like a Colorado, Washington, every other one that's not in California, really, you are looking at guys having, with maybe just one or two teammates and your coach, getting on a plane and flying out just to talk to the media. So it'd be kind of interesting just to kind of get Josh's perspective on it. Maybe what are some of the craziest questions that he's been asked or something like that. It should be a fun time. But really excited to get back out there for Pac-12 Media Day this year. And just see where everyone's at, not only with UCLA, but with USC and everyone else. You know, what does the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliavkov, have to say? I guess this would be his first public comments since the announcement of the Big Ten move for USC and UCLA, if I'm not mistaken. So it should be very interesting. And we'll have that. I'll try to make sure I get some interviews for you guys to play here on the podcast from DTR and from Chip Kelly. We'll try and make that happen. No promises, but I'll definitely have the podcast in mind when I'm out there. So with that being said, we're going to wrap up part three of our conversation with Lokenny today. A lot of great stuff. We talk about Jerry Azzanero, Don Pelham, Jerry Neuheisel, Chip Kelly, their favorite stadiums, and so much more. It's never a dull moment with Josh and Lokenny, and this is no different. So once again, hope you guys enjoy the conversation, and we'll look forward to many, many more episodes in the future as the season gets ready to roll around. All right, boys, we mentioned a name that a lot of UCLA fans are, have mixed feelings on. But you guys work very closely with this guy, a former defensive coordinator, Jerry Azzanero. When that name is said, a lot of UCLA fans have kind of gotten rubbed the wrong way the last couple of seasons. But again, you guys work closely with them. You guys were in the meeting rooms and stuff with him. And I remember the main reason why I thought it was super important for me to ask you guys is because I remember KLS. I think when I tweeted that Jerry Azzanero was no longer going to be the defensive coordinator, I think KLS mentioned like Azzanero is like a man's man, or like he had nothing but great things to say, which is obviously the total opposite of what fans think of Azzanero. And that's just because obviously different perspectives and you guys know him on a different level. What are your guys' thoughts on Jerry Azzanero, having spent so much time with him over the past couple of years?
You want to go first, Josh, or me?
Whoever wants to go first.
Go ahead, Luke.
I like Coach Az. I mean, first, Coach Az is a man's man. Like, I feel like there's no better way to put it. He's very old school. But he grew up a boxer.
I did not know that.
He taught football to himself, like pen and paper, like watching football and writing it down, pen and paper. Like he's very old. I think, where was he from? Like he was from somewhere in New York, right?
He's somewhere from over there, like New Hampshire or something, like kind of like Chip Kelly. Like
Coach Az, he's old school. He's a man's man, like just old school football man's man coach. Like if you can't be soft, like you can't be soft to be with Coach Az. Like he calls
your feelings hurt.
Yeah, he calls it how he sees it, and that's just what it is. He's not like demeaning or bad. He's actually funny, like the way he is, and when he's being serious, he's actually a funny guy. But I mean, I like Coach Az. I have nothing bad to say about him. Like, I like Coach Az. I like how he was. But I feel like KLS said it best. Like he's a man's man, and I have nothing. Like a lot of people can't. I feel like now, a lot of people can't relate to that. Well, these younger kids, because everybody's just. It's different now.
Yeah, you got to talk to people differently.
A lot of guys like Coach Az would rub you the wrong way, but like the way I grew up with just being around the men I was with, you know, it was no different than just hanging out with my dad and uncles. Like it's, I understand why some people feel that way about him. And I feel like another thing I want to say, Coach Az came up before the social media camera stuff, before you had to change how you were on. Like Coach Az was Coach Az. Like what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And he's gonna be Coach Az no matter what's going on. No matter who's there, like he's gonna be him.
That's why I understand why fans and people don't like him though, because you're saying, like what you see is what you get. They didn't get anything.
They didn't get it. That's true. That's the point.
He never did any interviews. He never did any video. Nothing. So like I understand why people would be like mad about it, because like if the defense is struggling again, we had our growing pains and all that stuff. It was like they wanted to put the blame on him, but him never.
They wanted to
say owning up or like respond, like taking responsibility because he wasn't in interviews.
They wanted answers. They wanted to hear it from him, but they never got that. And they heard it from us.
They heard it from John.
They heard it from Lokenny. You would do some of the media interviews with us too, and they would hear it from Chip, but they wanted to hear from Az. And they would never say. We would even Ben Bulge from the LA Times even asked Chip Kelly. He said, "Who calls the defensive plays?"
And Chip Kelly wouldn't even say as an arrow anybody. He would just say, all of us, dude, we all work on it together. Like, so people were looking for answers beyond Chip, but people never got it. So that's why fans were frustrated.
And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But and I mean, us knowing as like, that's, he grew up way before all this.
Mm-hmm. Before seven on sevens, before highlight and mixtape.
He doesn't care about all of it. Like Coach Adams' only concern was the defense and how are we going to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't feel talking to the cameras was going to, if he didn't feel something wasn't, if it didn't align with what we want to accomplish, he didn't care for it.
And it just funny to me that he would listen to our interviews though.
Yeah, and he would.
I remember Josh.
That's why he was always like, bro, why don't you talk? You know what I'm saying?
what did he have feedback or something for you, Lokeni? Like what did he, were you surprised like the first time he found out he listens to them?
Not for me personally. Well, I mean, I feel like we all were surprised, but it'll just be like, you know how you guys are. You guys ask a question and try and catch us slipping. Like, you guys are asking a question that where someone can just, especially young guys, like they'll fall for it.
I try not to ask questions.
We're always,
you know, fear as a whole.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I get you.
When guys will get asked one of those questions where it could go very bad or the answer good, like
it was almost set up where you couldn't, you weren't gonna look good.
He would play something like that. I'm like, this is a very good example of how to answer the question, like, whatever the case was. But yeah, it was definitely surprising to us all. Like, so we're watching our interview, but they're asking for you. Like, it wasn't bad. Like,
right.
But it was just like, that's interesting.
When's your turn, buddy?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It was interesting to see that.
No, it, and that was like the fun thing for me. Like, again, I didn't get, if he didn't want to talk or if he felt like he, you know, what, that's fine with me, because I would rather, like, I'll talk to Josh, I'll talk to Lokeni all day if I know I'm going to get an articulate, good answer. Not saying that Asnero couldn't deliver that, but if he wasn't going to put the effort or if he didn't want to do it, I don't blame him. Like, then
he's paid to coach football. He wasn't paid to do
interviews.
That's how he looked at it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. If that task didn't align with the objective or mission, he didn't care for it.
Yeah.
Whether it being an interview or doing some extra cricket, he didn't care. Like,
he didn't do radio shows. He didn't do anything.
Yeah. His sole purpose was I'm coaching the defense. So that's all I'm worried about.
No, I respect it. I wasn't like, for me, it was just, it always just kind of added this mystery, this element of like, Who is he? Like, I really never heard him talk. Sometimes I'd hear him, like, I don't know if he was like yelling at you guys, but sometimes he'd kind of get on the linebackers or just not.
He just yells.
Like, whoever part of the defense.
He's old school. I don't think you understand. When we say Coach Az is old school, like, he's as old school gets. Mm-hmm. Like, he's vintage. He's him.
He's vintage. Yeah.
And a lot of people say that about a lot of people, but Coach Az is really old. Like, I don't think you really understand.
He's a true throwback. Like,
I don't think you understand the magnitude of how old school he is. Like, he's him.
Yeah. No, I respect it. And like, that's the thing. If he's helping you guys become better men, better football players, and doing whatever, like, what more can you ask for? Like my feelings aren't hurt because he don't want to talk to me. Like, that's fine. Yeah. That's okay.
A lot of people's feelings were hurt.
But fans want to hear about it. If you guys give up 21 points or something, or there's one play that they don't like, then they're like, why?
Yeah.
And they want to know.
I understand that from a fan's perspective, but at the end of the day, he's not getting paid X amount of dollars to go talk to the camera and some fans.
It was funny though, too, because every time during practice, sometimes he would like kind of be over by the media and he would like kind of crack a joke or something. But we'd all kind of be in shock that he was even talking to us, because we're like, talk to us.
It's funny because he's one of the most personable, funny kind of guys, though.
Yeah. Oh, Coach. Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. But it's just one. If you know him and you're in this, you know. But
and you have to be comfortable. Yeah, you got to be comfortable. He's not looking to be put on the I probably wouldn't want to be interviewed too. Like, I don't know. I don't blame him. But real quick, just kind of wrap up on Asnero. Any fun or memorable memories with Asnero? Something that can maybe kind of tell the fans like, He was a good dude. He was just like all of us.
I mean, he is. The thing is, Az is a great man. You know, like,
he
is the ultimate like great uncle, grandfather. You know, Santa Claus, Az, you know, kind of guy. Like,
he has a Santa vibe.
You come off the field, and like for me personally, because my last year, he was on the field and Coach Kafusi, the outside linebacker coach, was up in the box. So when we come off the field, like the inside linebackers are going to Coach Pelham, you know, D-line was calling.
We'll talk about Pelham in a minute.
The DBs are going, you know, everybody's going with their position coach. Our position coach is up in the box. Like for me to talk to him, I have to go on a headset. So Az was always right there. So doing anything good or bad, I know I was going to get the, come here, Bubba. Like, what were you, like?
Oh,
I, like,
he did like, used to say Bubba. And
he'd
like,
he'd come sit down. He'd be like, I know why you did this and that, or I know you whatever, or like, happy for us. Like, I'm good. Like, yeah, like you're getting it. Like you did, you know, you did what you did all week, this and that. Like, he was that. You know, like your grandfather, he's gonna give you the love when you love. He's gonna give you the stern talking to when he's give you that talking to. Like that's, I mean, that was his presence to us, and it was we all respected it. And I'm sad from the player perspective, Az wasn't the issue, and being on the field, he's again dealing with injuries, dealing with young guys. There's a lot of blown coverages. There's a lot of missed tackles. There's a lot of like these things where. It was not, you can't blame him because trust me, we did tackling drills every, we did tackling circuit every day. So like, you can't be like,
oh, I watched it every day.
He's not coaching. I saw it every day. He's not coaching guys to tackle or he's not calling the right plays, this and that. Like a lot of it, it just wasn't, we didn't execute. And a lot of guys are young and I guarantee you take that, a lot of those young guys and look at them now, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be like, oh, you know, they're balling. If you put them back in those positions, I think we'd be a much better team. Unfortunately, that's not how it works, and we are where we are now. But that's why UCLA is where they were last year.
I do want to just add to Coach Az, like how people hate him. They want to. I know people probably think he didn't want to talk to media or whatever because the season we were having. But on the same token, we could have had a record-breaking defense and Az still wouldn't have talked to media.
No, they were like, solid the first half of this last year and still didn't talk. And we were like, if you were ever going to talk to us, this is the time, like because everything's going great, but still never. And I was like, all
That's right. That's just Az. We could have the best defense to ever play football, and you guys still wouldn't have got no camera time from him.
Right.
Just because it's Coach Az is Coach Az. That's what it is.
It would have been a – major event though if he ever did get on camera, it would have been
he's gonna give y'all a tell-all book,
huh? What, he's gonna come out with his own podcast?
Maybe he's writing a book right now or doing a podcast.
He might be, he got some time on his hands.
If Coach Az would have ever talked to you guys, I would have went and bought a lottery ticket that same day and probably would have.
I probably would have too. I wouldn't even know what to ask him because I would just
y'all probably would have all froze up like
wow, you're here.
You know, y'all got any questions for me? And then it'd just be awkward silence.
Like, you know what? No, we don't. Like, to be honest, like this last year, and they started doing it again. Like, we actually started talking to more assistant coaches, which had never been a thing. And I'm like, okay, this is new for me because I'd only been doing it for two, 3 years.
Under Chip.
But like, even when with Ben Bolch, he was like him and some of the other guys that had been there longer than me, they're like, no, like, this is the thing. Like, we're getting Jerry Neuheisel. We're getting Foster, we're getting like guys, and I'm like, oh,
under Mora, almost every week, all the coaches had to report at least once. I know, especially during camp, but throughout
during
the week,
camp, yeah, too,
throughout the week, it was like they were in a rotation of when they had to report to the media,
and it was different from USC because you would see like, if I'm a player, I can go walk up to you and talk to you if I wanted to, more or less. Like that's the understanding we have. So we look at USC and we're like, you know, you can talk to the offensive coordinator, you can talk to the defensive coordinator, but it's like, I can't talk to anyone other than they pull Josh and say, you're talking to Josh today. I'm talking to Josh.
I mean, that
today.
Might just be like, Chip protecting his guys.
I mean, more often than not, you guys are the starter who I would rather talk to you guys. Like, yeah, like I was it the Washington State game, Josh? I think I talked to you before, but then I need to talk to you after because, let alone that game being crazy, but just the game that you had. Crazy. What do you remember from that Washington State game?
A lot. The vivid memory I have is that Washington State's like a hostile environment to play. Mm-hmm.
And you knew some guys. Marcus Strong, I think, was
Marcus
over there.
Strong, a couple other guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I remember vividly is how, because it was a blackout game for Washington State. Everybody wore black, and you know
it was the a fans, night game.
Fans are crazy. Like, fans be fans are talk crazy during the game.
Mm-hmm. And that was after that, dark game, right? That was like the Pac-12 after dark game.
Mm-hmm. So I remember the fans talking crazy, just having a blast in the stands. And then slowly but surely, it just started getting quiet. But what I do, like, but I remember that game, like, we were losing bad, but nobody was stressing or panicking. Like, the mm-hmm. vibe was just different compared to any other loss. You know, you lose, guys kind of sense the game is over.
Yeah.
But at halftime during that game, that wasn't the vibe or the morale. Mm-hmm. And Coach Kelly's speech, his halftime speech on that game was like, guys, we're literally just a couple things away. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that's maybe the case a lot of times, but that one, for some, that vibe was just different. I remember walking out for halftime, like started third quarter. I forgot who I was with, but I told him, I was like, bro, we're going to win this game. But the whole vibe and morale was just different then. Like, we were down whatever amount of points. We're down by a lot.
I'm looking
it
up right now. Yeah, I'm looking it up.
But I remember nobody was panicking. Like, nobody had the 1,000-yard stare. Like, everybody was all right. Like, we're a couple mistakes away, and everybody felt we were. Offense, they had their adjustments. We had our adjustments. But it was literally that, like, just a few things away. And then slowly but surely, it just
– They put up – They started – Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you can say the numbers. I don't hear the numbers.
They put up 28 points on you guys in the second quarter. So they were 28. They were like 31 to 17 going into half. And then you guys held them to 14 points in each of the last two quarters. But you guys on offense, I think you guys had a pick six and stuff in this game too.
Josh had a pick on the first drive of the game.
He had a pick on the first. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
It was 20. You guys scored 21 points in the third.
I told you all week at practice. I said, I'm going to get one.
Yeah, you did say that.
Doing that exact thing. I was like, I'm going to get it doing this right.
I think I remember you saying that like right after when you're like, yeah, like I knew like this play, like you knew something about the play. Like I think you guys talked about it all week and you're like this, like, yeah, like. We knew that was going to happen.
I was picking that play off at like that same situation, that same play. Mm-hmm. I was picking them off at practice. And it was just like, yeah, Josh is going to get one of those this week. And then it happened. And we were just all like turning surprised, like not even surprised. Like, yeah.
And it was the first drive of the game because we started off on defense, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was our first defensive series. And you got a pick. I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember after Josh got the pick, I said, yeah. Like, it's about to be one of those.
Then it
wasn't hot, but like nobody was panicking. It was like no one had that look in their eyes. We're like, all right, like let's just get this over with and get on the plane. Like it was like, nah. Then it got to a point where I remember everything that could possibly happen started happening. I was like,
but
wow.
That's the thing too. I tell people all the time, like usually my fun fact of like when we have fun fact is like I've been a part of two of the biggest comebacks in college history.
We didn't win a lot of games, but we have the second and third largest comeback in NCAA history.
Down 34, down 32. And that's why, like,
what was the other one?
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M in the Rose Bowl. Down 34. So it's like, nobody can ever tell me it's like the game is over. Like, I'm a firm believer in it's not over until the clock hits zero. And in the CFL, you can still run a play when the clock hits zero. So something.
For real?
Yeah.
Also, it's really not over.
Cam Judge on Calgary, game not this past weekend, the weekend before, they were down 24-0. They came back and won.
Yeah, I was talking to them after that game.
Damn.
So I'm a firm believer in anything can happen.
No, so, you're a living testament, like not even just a believer.
But it's cool. I think the coolest thing about these comebacks, like Loke said, it's that like that calmness of like in halftime and at some point in the third quarter. It just starts rolling and you're like, yeah, it's on. And then it's just like a domino effect of like good defense, turnover, touchdown. Good defense,
but it's like,
turnover,
I'm telling you, when I tell you, James, that vibe was just different. Like, obviously, anytime you're down at half, everyone's like, yeah, like it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
But that vibe, then there was no panic. No, it was just like,
that's crazy.
I'm very often because halftime, you know, you get your little snack break, water break, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then the last certain minutes, defense brings it up, offense brings it up, then you all bring it up. Coach Kelly literally said, like, guys, we're just a couple things away from winning this game, taking the game over. I was like, yeah, like, you're absolutely right. We are. That's what it was. Like, and it literally happened. That vibe was just different. Because we didn't win the halftime down a lot. But that vibe.
It felt.
It was just different.
Well, I mean, you know, personally for me, the energy just felt different when I touched Pullman, like, every time, no matter what.
Yeah. Mm.
Rest in love, Tyler, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, like, you could feel it, though. And it was just like, I remember, like, that's one thing I told, like Loke and the older guys, even told the younger guys, like, in my last year, like, I just wanted to enjoy and have fun. Like, I had, you know, been through so much ups and downs throughout my time. I wanted to, like, embrace every moment and just enjoy, you know, the guys one more time, the young guys, the old guys, everything. Mm-hmm. And just, I remember like that night, it just being like so much fun of like me, just being like, like excited in the moment. Like I didn't even know what to do. Like, I'm like, I didn't get to celebrate. Like, it was like, I missed out on celebrations, just like, you know, talking to people on the other team and other things like that. But I just remember like being in the locker room and like being one of the last guys fully dressed, like, and just sitting there like, we really did that again.
And they start meaning more when it's like your last year and stuff, and those games kind of like.
They mean, yeah, they mean more a lot. And I mean, just because Josh had missed the two seasons prior. Mm-hmm. So just having Josh back was like, and just like the bond everybody had, not even just like me, Chris, and my brother, like with Josh, it was just everybody. Like Josh meant a lot to the team. And so that rubbed off to everybody. It was like, no one wanted to, that's Josh. You feel like that's big bro to a lot of people in there. He was like, he was the oldest dude there, aside from the coaches. It just,
you're not wrong.
Not age-wise.
Just what he man. What he went through and how he came back. Mm-hmm. It was like it just meant a lot to everybody. Like I was like we don't want to let Josh down. We don't want to let Chris down. We don't want to let Logan down. Like it was it was a lot of, emotions were high that game with just that whole season. Despite what the records may show and what everybody said, like the vibes and emotions there were just, it was different. It was great. Definitely soaked it all in, like Josh said, with it both being our last year.
Well, maybe outside of those games, or is there a favorite game? Is there any game better than that, or a USC game?
The Rose Bowl.
Okay. What about you, Josh? I mean, beating it could be Stanford. The one we talked about, beating Stanford.
Beating Stanford meant a lot to Stanford. Me.
Who was the quarterback? Just for
We was hurting them. I don't know. I think David Mills finished. I think David Mills finished the game. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, we had so many sacks that Stanford game.
And like that, like, because Stanford always meant so much because nobody could ever beat them. Anthony Barr couldn't beat them. Eric Kendricks couldn't beat them.
None of the
Miles Jack couldn't beat them. Jayon Brown couldn't beat them.
And this is when they're ranked in like
Kenny Young couldn't beat them.
They're ranked in the top 10 and stuff like year after year, right?
Even the years when UCLA was ranked and Stanford wasn't, we still couldn't beat them. And like, there's a lot of times where UCLA didn't get to the Pac-12 championship because of Stanford.
Yeah.
And it just, they had just had something on us where like, we just couldn't beat them. And like, I've literally seen guys cry in the locker room because they didn't get to beat Stanford. Mm-hmm. So like, I knew how much that meant. And for in our last year to do that to them at their place and make, and like have such a dominant win in that.
Yeah, it wasn't even just a win. I think we had like 6-7 sacks that game. Like, it was just crazy.
And like the offense was clicking, and just like the way that we, like I said, it was like the way we dominated them after all these years, it just meant that much more of like,
and
this is, I'm like out there like, this is for, you know, this is for Kenny.
It's for everybody.
Like, this is yeah. Like this, we getting it back. You know what I'm saying? And like, this is our get back.
Yeah. And that game, their starting quarterback was that year, he didn't play that game. And a lot of people were trying to say, like, that's why we beat him, but our whole mindset, like the demeanor we had going into that game, or just the history of it, it didn't matter who the quarterback was. A lot of people try saying that, oh, it was because, no, whoever the quarterback was that year, that game,
it didn't matter.
He was seven times.
Yeah, they were. They tried playing multiple guys, and it was like, it didn't matter because we were winning the matchups at the line.
Yeah, it didn't matter who the quarterback was. Our offense was
scoring. Like, yeah, it really didn't matter. We were going to win that game.
The type of time we were on that game, it didn't matter who the quarterback was. They could have brought like Peyton Manning or Derek Carr or somebody. It could have been anybody, and just the outcome was going to be the same, just because that was the mindset we had that game. It was just, it was crazy.
I respect it. You mentioned USC, UCLA, and obviously it wouldn't be a UCLA football podcast if we didn't mention a USC, UCLA game. You mentioned that as one of your favorites, Lokenny. Which one was that?
What was that, 2018? Yeah, 2018, we beat him in the Rose Bowl.
Josh Kelly.
What did Josh Kelly run for?
Oh, like, I think I was there.
300?
Was that his final game?
No, this is the year before.
This is the year before. Okay,
yeah.
That game was just, I mean, it's
Lokenny had a big sack. I remember, I always remember that one.
I had a sack that game. I'll never forget that sack. Not even because it was a sack against SC, but just because how excited Coach Kelly was after.
to get any emotion out of him is, I got the sack.
Oh yeah. Whenever you do something and get Coach Kelly's approval and his energy and enthusiasm, mm-hmm. you know, it was a big play.
I'll never forget. I got the sack. It was like second down. It put him in like third and 18. So the nickel came on. I run off the field, you know, give high fives. Everybody's cheering me on, whatever. And then I look to my right and I get water. I get some water. I take a swig and put it back. And when I look forward, Coach Kelly's right there in front of me, like kneeling down with his hand out like this for a high five, like, low, like just shaking, headset shaking. I was like, whoa, like I really did something good. Like I did something good. Because Coach Kelly, for him to get excited like that was just different. And for it, him, just seeing Coach Kelly excited like that, you knew something good happened. But for him to be, the excitement be directed towards me, I was like, yeah, that made me feel real good. Like despite everything, I'll never, that's my most memory from that. It's just his excitement.
Had one of those too.
What was yours with him, Josh?
Mine was I had one-on-one coverage, I think, with a tight end. And the quarterback wanted to throw it. It was like a post corner. And, like, I locked it, and the quarterback had to throw it away. Mm-hmm. And so I had to run by Chip, and he smacked me on the butt, and it was, like, turned up. And I was like, hey, I was locking in. That's some cub. Like, you know, like, I didn't think he'd be paying attention to what I was doing.
Yeah,
right. This whole scheme, you know what I'm saying?
What- Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing with Coach Kelly. He's such a football, like the X's and O's just make sense to him. Like he's a head coach, more offensive minded coach, but he's aware of everything that's going on. Cause whatever play that was, whatever game that was, he knew on that play, like that was the option, was that tight end. Like the guy Josh, they wanted him. So Coach Kelly knows what's going on. He understands the circumstances. Oh, down to just they like this play. Mm-hmm. And nine times that he was watching Josh on that play. He's not watching nothing else. He's watching where it could go wrong for what the offense wants, which could go wrong for us.
And they probably preached it like all week. They told you.
Yeah, but not even that. Coach Kelly, he's just so aware of it. He knows exactly
what he knows our scheme. That's what I'm saying. He knows ask everything. You a question, like,
right.
Like, Loke, what are you running in this and so coverage or this and so blitz? Like, there's times where in meetings where in front of the team, he could ask something like that. And you're like, whoa, like, you know,
like he's
as
so,
an offensive
like,
coach knowing that.
Like, you wouldn't be able to tell whether he's the offensive guy or defense. Like, you would think he was a defensive coordinator with how in tune he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just knew what was going on. Like, it was crazy, like, how in tune he was with everything.
I think back in the day, at some point, because I remember, like, going through his resume before, like, I think he was, like, a defensive coach. Didn't he play DB?
Yeah, he played corner or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
Like a DB or something, yeah. Which is like kind of crazy to think about. But no, like going to Pac-12 Media Days and asking about Chip Kelly, like they always like genius, helped change the game for college football.
Football wizard.
Coach
Kelly
stuff
is
like that.
Definitely a football wizard. Like he's a guru. Like the X's and O's just he sees stuff and understands stuff that I don't know. It's just crazy. Like it's like he was put on this earth with X's and O's. Like he learned X's and O's before his ABCs.
Yeah.
That's how it seems with Coach Kelly.
Another coach and a guy that had kind of been with Chip Kelly along on his staff and journey for some time was Don Pelham, who I know you guys have quite a bit of respect for. Any fun Don Pelham stories that he's no longer with the staff as well. I think he departed as well. I think he retired this offseason.
Coach Pelham kicked his feet up. He living in his house he had built in Oregon right now.
Is he – okay, real quick. I know I just asked you guys a question, but I'm going to ask you another question first. Was he I you can tell me if I'm wrong, is he not the most well-dressed man in UCLA or college football?
He's been known for decades for these suits. Like,
yeah, that's what
people, whenever I'm talking to like people that are like, oh yeah, he recruited me, is you still wearing that brown suit? It's like that was over 20 years ago.
It's crazy because people don't even know his name.
He's
the guy with the suits. Coach Pelham came out to one of our Carter practices over summer one day. It's like 105 degrees. He's wearing that suit. Fully suited, though, and just standing there on the sideline watching practice.
Look, Kitty, what is your favorite Coach Pelham outfit?
Oh,
I know mine. Mine, he wore it one time, and I was like, this is his best fit.
See, he had a few to where like he was sitting like, damn, like Coach Pelham, like okay. He would always just, but he had a few to where it was just like, they made me want to go buy a suit and just add
right,
a few
right.
wardrobe. Like my favorite, I don't
like,
know.
You
if
gotta
I have
step
a favorite
your game
one.
Up.
I
don't
I,
know
I,
if
I,
I
can
have
tell
a
you.
Favorite.
I can tell you mine.
Go ahead.
Mine was when he wore it to the facility one day. We had meetings. He just wore it to the facility again.
Like just.
Yeah,
oh, I thought that was Coach. That was his lifestyle.
He was in all pink. He had a pink shirt.
I remember
the pink shirt with pink pants. Yep, and I was like, oh, you killing him today
on a random Wednesday or something.
That's I'm telling you, it was a random day though. And I was like, oh, where you get, like, you pulled this one out the closet for what? Like,
yeah,
I was
just
like,
because.
Right, what's the occasion? Like, what's going on?
And it was like one of those pattern shirts, you know, like dressy material. Mm-hmm. Like a
I remember exactly which one you're talking
like
about.
Like a t-shirt type cut. Probably like, not I don't know what material, but like, you know, like that. And then the same color pants. And I was like, yeah, that's the one. That's the best one.
I thought he really only did that for like recruiting trips, game day.
No.
He did Coach that like every day.
I mean, there's days where he does wear sweats and like team issued like coaching gear.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like that's what I would see during practice. So that's why.
Yeah,
I
like the summer practice, he would wear that on days. But there are days where he pulls up and suited and booted, and it's just a regular day.
Damn. But even to go to Carter, that's crazy. And it's hot. Like, it gets hot.
Standing in the heat. It's like, it was over 100 degrees that day. He's standing there with the suit on, his hat, just standing there. You know his look. Just standing there watching probably like,
that's a Banning
like,
legend.
I know he's hot.
Yeah, he's from SoCal, right? Like, he's from here.
Banning legend.
Mm-hmm. I think his someone in his family, I don't know if his son coaches at Milliken. Yeah, right. One of them's getting recruited, and I think is whatever is they're however they're related is like the coach at Long Beach Millican, I think. But yeah, I've always heard about that. And I remember Jerry Neuheisel one day walked out in a suit, and I think he was talking on the phone. He was like at midfield. I was in the press box. And I was like, look at Jerry Neuheisel out here looking like Don Pelham, suit and booted for, I think it was the USC.
Hey, Jerry did fly though. I can't lie.
Jerry got his own type of fly, but Jerry.
Yeah, because Jerry's been like fashion-y, artistic since when I played with him. Because he was always into photography. So like Jerry been.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
And
Jerry's hip.
Yeah. Jerry's hip. Jerry's very hip. But he's always had that coach feel to him anyway. So it makes sense why he'd know how to rock it.
Okay, boys, we're getting down to the final couple minutes here. During the break, we did go out on Twitter again and ask for more questions. A few more came in. We had one from Lamar earlier. I'll ask it again. It might have been something we talked about already, but just touch on it a little bit if you guys can. He said, is Chip Kelly's training different from how Jim Mora's was in prior seasons, more or less? So what, like, obviously the San Bernardino, Westwood stuff, the facility, but like just the way you guys went about your weekly practices and your just day-to-day, was it much different? Or
I mean, different styles, but like Loke said, same football, you know. I mean, certain days he just full pads, but like strength is, I mean, you're focusing on speed and strength, and then football is football, you know. You have scout periods, you have your ones, first ones, you know.
Yeah, I would say the same, but their approaches were different. I would say like with Coach Kelly and their staff, it was more like they were scientific with everything. Like, like you could, like they would, they would articulate, like they would just, oh, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. Like, we're doing this because we're doing
everything meant something.
Because like they would give us the rhyme and reason behind it and like the scientific breakdown to it all.
Okay.
But as far as it was all the same, running, weights, like the same stuff, but they were more letting us know why we were doing it. All right, we're doing this because that, we're doing that because this, and et cetera. But all in all, it was pretty much the same.
We have a good question about stadiums here in a minute that I'll get to, but did you guys prefer San Bernardino over campus?
No.
I guess that's kind of a hard question because
I didn't mind going for a week and no 2 days, but because we're from there, so like family could come and stuff like that. Yeah. I know other guys didn't because sometimes camp just at UCLA would get kind of boring just because you're at the same place every day.
Yeah. It was a good little break away from whatever you guys are.
It was nice, because during camp at school you can't see anybody. Like you see.
For us, for IE guys, it was like we're going home for a week.
So that was cool. Like family, friends were there. And, you know, after my dad would bring us like Jack in a Box of pizza for the guys, so that was cool.
Popeyes, you know.
Instead of eating the same stuff every day. But yeah, that was cool. That was a fun dynamic too, and it was no different. Yeah, guys dying in the heat. I'm like,
I would imagine.
Yeah, guys like me and John. I mean, we've been doing this since we were 3 years old in the heat. Like this is regular.
Is what we're built on. This is nothing new. Final question coming in from Jesse Garcia, who also we talked had a question earlier, or a comment earlier, but he said he would love to ask you guys which stadiums were the loudest you ever played in? I know you mentioned Washington State already, Lokenny, but, and then he also mentioned what was your favorite away stadium and your least favorite stadium. So a couple questions there. Favorite stadium, worst stadium, loudest.
Kyle Field, Texas A&M.
Okay. Yeah, Texas A&M, loudest and coolest to me.
Yeah.
What was cool? What is it cool? Is it just like the SEC vibe and just?
Well, that was the only SEC. 100,000 people in there because of renovations they did with Johnny Manziel. Packed.
Cracking.
And they're all in sync. They had this one chant where everybody's just like crowd surfing and it's just, it was just crazy. Like, you just have to be there. You have to be at a game there to experience mm-hmm. it and understand what we're saying. But that was the loudest. For me, the worst stadium I hated was Arizona because their bathrooms were terrible.
Oh, yeah. Arizona. And their turf was trash.
Turf was trash. Bathrooms terrible. Showers always clogged. So you literally had to rush. After the game, you had to, like, get ready to shower. Because if you were one of the last guys, if you were not the first two or three people to use mm-hmm. that shower – The water's up to your ankles already. Showers just clogged. Like, it was disgusting.
Oh no. I wasn't expecting that. All right. That's what was your favorite? I guess does that go with loudest stadium or do you have a favorite away stadium prior to that? Like other than that or
I liked Oregon and UW. I liked those two stadiums and just the surrounding.
I never got to play those two.
Damn, for real?
At Oregon?
I didn't get to play at Oregon. I never got to travel, even Oregon State. And I didn't go to UW.
Really?
Wazoo is up there for me. Mm-hmm. And Colorado is up there for me.
Okay.
I don't like the elevation of Colorado.
You can feel Colorado, it. There's a difference.
I like the atmosphere. You're
about to pass out during warmups.
But I like their grass too. Well, did they change it? Did they have turf now?
Colorado still had grass. Oh, yeah. Their grass was nice. Yeah.
But we used to always, yeah, their grass. I like
playing on grass is just such a different feel. It's like, oh, it's soft, feels good.
Yeah, Stanford didn't have good grass. Stanford always had long grass.
Yeah. Colorado like had good grass. Like the Colorado quality grass was some high quality stuff.
And the vibes in I like the vibes in Colorado. I can't lie.
We'll wrap it up on this. I got 2 minutes. Favorite memory, moment, or just thoughts in general about the Rose Bowl.
I used to like doing Bruin Walk with Coach Mora.
What is Bruin's Walk?
Before the game, we used to park on the street outside the stadium and walk through the fans and stuff and just mm-hmm. see the family and everybody before the game. So that was pretty – I like doing that. We didn't do that with Coach Kelly, but I enjoyed doing that with Coach Mora, like just before every home game. It was fun.
Josh, what about you?
I think just playing in front of my family – my grandparents, who went on to be with the Lord, like they were able to come to games, which is mm-hmm. cool. So like always having family at games and then being able to play with my like best friends. Like I said earlier, like having that dream become reality and really being out there on the same team, on the field together, playing against other people, doing things that we always talked about doing is always cool to me.
And having them there in the stands every game. Okay. At least half your games, your family's there.
Yeah.
It's an hour drive for our family, like so that was always cool.
All right, good deal. All right, boys. We could talk for hours and hours and hours. I'll tell you this, Lokenny. This will not be the last time that we have you on the podcast.
You beat me to it because I was always like, I need another feature.
You will be back. If not before the season, you'll be back during the season, but you'll probably be back before.
I'll come back 100 more times if you guys want.
Maybe we'll have you back 100 more times. No, but thank you, Lokenny. Josh, thank you as always. Remember, go ahead, download, like, subscribe on all your favorite audio and podcast platforms. All the details below, how you can reach out, get feedback, questions, comments. Let us all know. It's been great. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Thank you again, boys.
Thanks for having me, man. It was a pleasure.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.